in the Word of God to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. But go ahead and remain seated. I'm going to talk to us for a little bit. We'll read that scripture. You can just be there when we get going. It's just going to kind of flow into it. But that's where we're going to start. The other scriptures will be up on the screen for you to read as we go. So we have started this incredible series of the foundation of truth. A couple of weeks ago, we preached on the priority and the importance of knowing God and just how important it is to know God. And then last week, we discussed and shared scriptures through Brother Sapp. He taught, well, not that Wednesday, but the Wednesday of before that, I believe it was. We taught in the Word of the Lord the importance and the priority and the power of having an intimate relationship with God. This relationship of knowledge to be perpetual. It's not something that we just learn a little bit, but it is a perpetual knowledge. And to have the right knowledge. Everybody say the right knowledge. So I don't want to just know about God. I want to rightly know God. And the Word of the Lord says, rightly dividing the Word of God. So there is a right way to study God's Word. There is a right way to divide the Word of God. And we find out today that many false teachings are due to the fact that the Word of God is not being rightly divided. And people will go into the Word of the Lord, they'll go into the epistles, and they will grab scripture that is written to the church, written to someone that's already repented, already baptized in Jesus' name, already filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, already walking a walk separate from the world in Christ, a walk of righteousness. These epistles were written to the church. Men and women that have given their life to God already, have already received the plan of salvation. But they'll reach in those epistles and they'll pull out scriptures and they'll build a salvation doctrine upon it. And if you want to know how to be saved, then the Bible is a Bible of precedence. You have to go back when the plan of salvation was introduced, because God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever it took for people to get in the church when the church was first born, it is the same thing that it takes today. And you have got to go into the book of Acts and find out how to get into the church. And so we find out that we taught and learned about the importance of knowing God, and then the importance of having the right knowledge of God, or the knowledge of God. And tonight, we're going to spend a little time on the oneness of God. Now, when I say the oneness of God, I'm not talking about how you and I may necessarily approach this subject. We'll get to that later in dealing with the fact that Jesus Christ, you know, is Lord. But I'm dealing tonight, we're building a foundation of the oneness of God in the essence that there is only one God. And before we can get true understanding and learn more about this God, we must have this revelation that there is indeed only one God. Now, to you and I, we say, well, you know, who doesn't know that? That's so simple to understand that. But we live in a time, in a world, in a generation where two-thirds of this earth today, believes in a multiplicity of gods, whether that is in Buddhism or other areas of religion, or even in Christianity, in some facets of a multiplicity of gods. But there is only one God. And that is a foundation that needs to be deep in our heart and deep in our understanding. When we get on our knees, we know who we're praying to. When a miracle takes place in my life, I know who did it. I don't have to guess who my God is. I know who my God is. Can you say amen? Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 5 and verse number 6. The word of the Lord says, for though there be that are called gods, little g with an s, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many or lords many, but unto us, Paul speaking to the church of Corinth, and to you and I, of course, but unto us there is but one God. Everybody say one. Say one God. This one God, one theos, if you please, one divine being, one supreme deity. But unto us there is but one God. And everybody say, he is the Father. So there is only one God, the Father of whom, everyone say, of whom, say source. So one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and even, or and, that word and there, even, or and indeed, all things, and we in him, and everyone say, one Lord. One owner, one controller, one sovereignty, one master, one possessor. One Lord, and everyone say, Jesus Christ. Say, by whom? Say, action. All things, and we by him. So verse number 6 says, but unto us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. So Paul the Apostle says, there is one God, that is it, boom, established, bam, one God, only one. One God in presentation of the Father, whom is the source from out which everything came, who manifested himself in the form of Jesus Christ, by whom are the action in which all things were done. Because Jesus was the Word of God manifested in the flesh. And we know the Bible tells us that all things that have been created was created by the Word, out from the Father, through the Word of God, through Jesus Christ, the manifestation of that great God. But one God. Everybody say, but one God. So before we can truly worship God, we have got to settle it in our heart that there is only one true God. I want you to find two or three people around you and tell them, there's only one God. Tell them. Tell them. Tell them like you mean it. There's only one God. Brother Mito, tell Sister Mito, there's only one God. And tell her now, tell her, it's not me, honey. His name's Jesus. All right, so there's only one true God. And he alone is the one that we must seek and serve. Now, the only way I can seek the one true God is if I believe first that there is indeed only one God. And so two points in this lesson that we want to convey is there is but one true God, supreme deity, and number two is that the eternal God is one. So there is only one God, and that this God, who is the one God, is indeed in his essence one. He cannot be divided, subdivided, spread out. He is God. That's why he is omnipresent. When something's omnipresent, it's everywhere, it's at one time, at all times, past, present, and future. You can't divide that up, cut that up. He's just everywhere. He's God. Somebody shout, he's God. So we know that there are many religions today and beliefs in our world that serve many gods, that come from many types of people and background, even those who believe in one God, but yet aren't actually sure how he is one God, and they lack knowledge. And that's why we talked about knowledge first, because we have to understand how important it is to know God, and we have to understand how important it is to have the right knowledge of God. And when we have these things, and then we know who God is, we are well on our way to be used in the kingdom of God, bringing glory to the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you want to bring glory to your God? Do you want to lift up his name in your life? Amen. All right, let's get going with this. Listen to what God says to Moses in Exodus chapter 6, starting with verse number 2. Now everybody say one God. Say same God. Old Testament. New Testament. We didn't get a new God in the New Testament. In fact, the only way you can have a New Testament is if the same person rewrites the Old Testament. Or presents it. So it's not two people. It's the same God with an Old Testament covenant that was fulfilled in the New Testament through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So Exodus chapter 6 verse number 2. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God, or El, or Emmanuel. I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham and unto Jacob and Isaac and Jacob by the name of God Almighty. Everybody say God Almighty. So he's the El Shaddai. He is the mighty one, the most powerful one. He said, but my name Jehovah, which means the eternal existing one. My name, Jehovah, I was not known unto them. Now, I want you to notice something that they could not know unless God revealed. So God revealed himself as the Almighty God. And that's how Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew him. But God comes to Moses and he says, I'm going to reveal to you a greater revelation of who I am. My name is Jehovah. So it is by revelation that we get to know God. Where does that revelation come from? It comes from the Word of God, the knowledge of God through the Word of God. We must have this knowledge of him. Look at verse number 4. And I have also established my covenant with them and give to them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein that they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. That word there is Elohim, true God, supreme God, ruler and judge. I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I am the Lord your God. The first thing God wanted his people to know is that he alone is Lord. The Pharaoh's gods are not going to deliver you. The Egyptians' gods are not going to deliver you. The heathen Philistine gods cannot deliver you, but I'm going to deliver you. I am your God. Now, God made many statements in the scripture to this effect, and that you might know that I am the Lord. You ought to read the book of Ezekiel and see how many times he states it in there. I am the Lord. I am your Lord. I am your God. God wants me and you. He wanted his people to know and understand him, to walk with him in relationship. He wants us to have this right, true knowledge that comes from his mouth or from his word, from his declaration and proclamation of his prophecies of his prophets. He desires that you and I have an intimate relationship with him, and we know him in his true identity and his true deity, and that we walk with him understanding that we are walking with the one true only creator of the entire universe. And as Paul the apostle said, my God. Somebody shout my God. Shout my God. He alone reveals and declares that he is our one true Lord. Adam and Eve knew him, that he was only one God, and that he was indeed their creator. They understood that. They visited with him daily. They had personal knowledge, and they fellowshiped with him. How incredible that must have been to walk in the garden every day, this great creator. You see, Adam had no doubt that God breathed the breath of life in him. He opened up his eyes, and the first voice he ever heard outside of maybe his own was the creator of the universe that stepped into his presence and said, hello, son. How are you doing, Adam? Oh, I've waited so long for this. And the relationship began. But we live in a world today that man thinks that somewhere in the back eons of time, a lightning bolt struck a little slime on the side of a rock, and amino acids began to come alive. And from that single cell organism, man began to evolve until today. We have come to be what we are. That's what the majority of this world thinks and believes. But you and I know tonight, I have breath in my lungs because my creator put breath in my lungs. I have one God. I serve one God. I know only one God. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But sin came, we know that. The fall of humanity came. And so, since then, man has had to seek God to know him. They had to seek him in order to find him. And so the word begins to deal with us. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29. Tell your neighbor, I want to know that one God. Tell your neighbor, I want to seek that one God. Because that's the only way you're going to know him. Tell him, the only way you're going to know your one God is if you seek him. Deuteronomy 4 and 29 says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. And if thou seek him with all of thy heart and all of thy soul. Let me put it to you this way. In the kingdom of God, seekers or finders. In God's kingdom, if you will search, you will find. In God's kingdom, if you will search, you'll never come up empty-handed. You'll never walk out saying, I found nothing. I experienced nothing. This one true God that I'm talking to you about, he commands us, seek for me. Search me. Jesus put it this way, search the scriptures for me wherein you think you might have salvation. We look back to the Old Testament to see what was the foundation, the priority, the main top line command of God. It was to seek and know him. Deuteronomy 6 and 4, the word hear, it means to hearken. It means to understand. Hear, O Israel, the Lord. This Lord here is Jehovah, or Jehovah, the self-existing one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, Elohim, the true supreme God, the judge of all. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is
That word there means alone. Is an all by himself God. He is an alone God. There's no one before him, behind him, to the right of him, or the left of him. He is God and there is none other.
He is God. Hear, O Israel, he said, the Lord our God is one Lord. This is not simply a one God statement that we make so often amongst us apostolics that believe in this truth, but this is an admonition. It is a command to hear, to perceive, to recognize, to realize, to understand that the Lord our God is one. Jesus was so plain on this that he said it this way: unless you believe that I am he, you shall likewise die in your sins. It is pertinent, it is absolute that you and I understand there is only one God. He wants us to hear. He wants us to recognize. He wants us to understand. He wants us to receive this revelation that there is indeed only one God. There is not a multiplicity of gods. There is no division in God. You cannot find that anywhere in the Word. He established this from Genesis. He brought it through the entire Old Testament. And he brought it into the new. When they, I'll get to this in a little bit. When they approached him and said, what is the greatest commandment, Jesus? He said that you would love the Lord your God, that there is only one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one.
All right, let me continue. I got to get through this. Verse number 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. You better listen. Listen to pastor. Listen to the word. Listen to the man of God. Unless you understand that there is only one God, you cannot love him with all your heart. Because even Jesus said, if you have two masters, you'll cleave to one and despise the other. You're going to be divided in your emotions and how and who and what you are attracted to. The only way to love something with all your heart is if you only have one of them. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. I want to love God with all my might. I want to love God with all my mind. I want to love God with all my heart. And the only way to do that is to understand there is only one God. Clap your hands to the Lord and give God praise. Give him some praise. Let's look at the words of Jesus, book of Mark. Mark chapter 12, verse number 28. And one of the Pharisees came unto him and heard a reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well. He asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely, unto this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. Come on, Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches. Let's get this revelation deeper in us than we've ever had it. Let's let it go deeper than it's ever been. When we open our mouths in the morning and we begin to praise him, we're praising the only God in heaven. It's not like the computer system, and it's got to kind of track its way through an IP address and finally make its way to the right target after going through all kinds of shifts and switches and channels. Oh, no. When you open your mouth, there's only one God up there, and he's listening. That's who you're talking to, and he hears you, and it's a relationship he desires us to have with him. Amen. The word here means to perceive, recognize, comprehend, understand. This was a commandment. It was not an option. It was not a suggestion. It was a command. So understanding and comprehending and perceiving that the Lord our God is one is a very vital part of our walk with God. It's so important to God that he also told them to teach this to their children continuously. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 6 through 9, he said, you need to give this teaching on down through the generations of your children. Isaiah 45 and 5 says, God reveals, he announces, he proclaims, listen to this, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, and they may know from the rising of the sun from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is none else. Isaiah 43 and 10. What? Who should be a witness of this? Look at this. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. My God, what a revelation. What a power. You and I serve the Almighty God. Verse number 13, yea, before the day was, I am he. Before there was any time at all, God said, I was there. There is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Verse 15, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. How many gods is there? How many? How many? One. There's only one God. There's only one God. The beauty about that is once you get him, you don't have to worry about whether you got the right one. You don't have to worry about whether you got the most powerful one. My Lord, I know I don't have time to say this, but I'll say it anyway. I got to get through this lesson. My wife and I, we were somewheres. Where were we, baby? 10,000 Buddhas. What country was that? Who's in China? Who's in China? And so we go up this hill. And we go to this special place and we walk in. We walk into this shrine thing and it's called 10,000 Buddhas. I always thought there was only one Buddha. I thought Buddha was their God and they had, no, they're all Buddhas. And there's the Buddha of the water and the Buddha of the sky and the Buddha of the dirt and the Buddha of tears and the Buddha of ears and the Buddha of hair and the Buddha. There's a Buddha for everything. And I counted. I'm a counter. And they said 10,000. There was 11,443 Buddhas in that place. They don't even know how to count. How in the world are they going to deliver you from anything? And they walk into that place. Brother Pete, they walk into that place and they got to figure out which Buddha they need to pray to. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. Think about how serious this is. Because they believe in this as much as you believe in your God. They were raised and taught that when you have a certain need, you better find the right Buddha. You better find that right connection, that right deity that rules. And can you imagine getting down and you've got a need and it kind of overlaps three or four Buddhas. And you're not sure which one to talk to. I want you to get this in your head. They really believe this way. It can produce a quandary because they're afraid if they pray to the one, they might offend the other. And how are we going to make this happen and bring it about? I am so glad that no matter what my problem is, no matter what the situation is, no matter what's going on in my life, when I walk into my prayer closet, I've only got one God who shall supply. Shall supply. Shall supply. It don't matter what my need is. It don't matter what the problem is. I've got a God. Somebody shout one God. Isaiah 48 and 12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel. My called, I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. He proclaims over and over to be the Almighty God. Before him wasn't one. There'll never be one after him. None before him, after him, under him, above him. He fills the universe. There is no other God. He is the only one. Isaiah 44 and 24, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, who created you. God, I thought I'd give you the answer. Who created you? Who? He said, here in Isaiah, he said, I, he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, and that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Psalms 86 and 10, thou art great and dost wondrous things. Thou art God and alone. It is absolutely vital that we believe and understand that there is but one true God. Even though he is vast and infinite, he is one and singular and supreme. And he desires more for you to know him than you desire to know him. This great God. Deuteronomy 4 and 35 says, unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. Look at that verse. Unto thee it was shewed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, and there is none else beside him. God said, I made myself known to you. I wanted you to know the Almighty God. When I called the father of faith out from the land of the heathens, and I began a generation and a nation, I wanted my people to know. And then I came, and for the world I died and shed blood. And I now, through the redemption of the blood of my son, I want the world to know who I am. Deuteronomy 4 and 39. Know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Jeremiah 10 and 10. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and everlasting King. And at his wrath the earth shall tremble and the nations shall not be able to abide in his indignation. God has many titles, but he is only one God. You can easily find in the scripture that this God is referred to by so many names and so many titles and so many manifestations in the way that he presents himself. But over and over and over, he says it. But I am one God. I am one God. He appears as an angel to some. He appeared to a burning bush to Moses. He spoke in the wind to Elijah. There are so many ways that he manifested himself. But he is still the one all-powerful God. God is not dual. He is not triune. He is nothing but one. Look at your neighbor and say, God is one. Let's stand. If you leave here tonight with any other conclusion other than God is one, you did not get your conclusion from the Bible. Because I have stood here for 40 minutes and I have done nothing but quote to you verse after verse after verse. And that's just a few of them. Without a doubt, listen to your pastor. Without a doubt, the most singular attribute that God demands to be known is that he's the only one. The very definition of God demands he be the only one. Because if there's two, one of them ain't God. one of them's not God. And if they're equal, then neither of them are God. Because the God that this Bible talks about is supreme above all others. And when everything was made, he made it. Just him. All by himself. And when your mommy and daddy got together and held hands really tight, God chose you. You were not an accident. God chose you. If I can put it this way, he stepped into your mama's womb and he said no to 10 million others. And he said to you, now some of y'all got lucky and two of y'all hit there at the same time. We call them twins. Some of y'all, DD, right? Don't you have a twin? And some of y'all got real lucky. Three of you got there. After three, it's not luck. It's horrifying. Then it's four and five, and yeah, there you have it. But God, he said, I formed you in the womb. I formed you in the womb. This one God knew you before you ever took a breath. You didn't just happen tense. He formed you. Don't tell me he doesn't desire to have a relationship with you and to walk with you every day of your life. And no matter what this world has brought to you, and no matter what you're facing, and no matter what you're going through, I am standing before you today to tell you that the only God that has ever existed has never taken his eyes off of you. I want to have a relationship with this one God. There's only one of me. That's right. Nobody has that fingerprint. Just me. And nobody has yours. There's only one of you, and you were made in the image of God, and there is only one of him. There's only one of him. Woo! We are the church of the name, the Bible says. We are the church of the name. Tell two or three people around you, there's only one God and I know him. Now later on, we'll deal with the other parts of the Word of God where we show you that Jesus Christ is indeed that one God. And that there's not a triune up there. There's only one. There's always only been one. There's only one throne and only one sits on the throne. There's not three thrones. The Bible says, John says, behold, I saw the window of heaven open and there was one throne in heaven and only one sat on that throne. Woo! Now out of that throne came the glory of God, the power of God. Listen, you will never, ever understand and experience a true walk and relationship with God until you get the revelation that he's the only one. You know, when I met my wife, I know you're standing, I'm done, we're closing, I'm finished, it's over. I met this beautiful lady. She was engaged. I was too, to a couple, but Different states. I would never do it in the same area. Never, never, never. I was kidding. Yeah, that's kind of true. But anyway, she was engaged. And we met. When I met her, I went back to Brother Etheridge Church. That's who I was preaching for. And I called that girl up that I've been talking to. And I said, girl, you are fine, but you are not that fine. No, I did not say that. I did not
Take that off the tape. I'm just kidding. Now listen, listen. There was a little turmoil. What do? I met the woman I said I'm going to marry, and here I am messing around with this other girl. And she, not that way. And she thinks I'm going to marry her. And I'm in turmoil. She's in turmoil. She's engaged. Listen, we could not come together and be one until we cut everything else off. The only way I could love her with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength is if she's the only one. And God understands our nature, doesn't he? So the Lord says, the first revelation you need to get, there's only one of me. And you need to cut everything else off. You need to love me with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. My Lord, I feel God dancing all up in this place, I'm telling you. Lord have mercy. Lift your hands. Father, we love you. We praise you tonight. We thank you for this divine revelation from your word that you are God alone and there is none other. We praise you. We adore you. We magnify you. God, when we get on our knees, we call on your name because there's only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That name all heaven and earth are called by. We call on that name, Jesus. We love you. We praise you. We adore you. You are almighty. You are everything to us. You are the only one and true God. We love you. We praise you. We desire a walk with you. We desire relationship, God. Oh, Father, hear the voices of your people. Hear the voices of the church. We come to you. We love you. We praise you. We adore you. Let this revelation seep down into our hearts and our minds. Let it get a hold of us like never before. Oh, there's one God. One God, one God, one God. Whatever I need, he's the answer. Wherever I go, he's the one that goes with me. Hallelujah. He is my deliverer, my redeemer. I praise him, I praise him. One more time. Put your hands together. Clap your hands unto the Lord, the only Lord, the one Lord. Praise God. Amen, amen. God bless you. I love you. Thank you for being faithful on Wednesday night. Remember, we've got 7 more of these lessons. And we are building a foundation. Be faithful. We're taking roll call, and we know who you are. We'll look you up, hunt you down, watch your taxes and your credit cards. God bless you. We love you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.